Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes. Good
evening, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness. I am so honored to have this opportunity to connect with you again this evening. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show, Higher Consciousness. And I always give background information for those listeners who are new. Currently, I teach psychology at colleges. I have a private counseling practice. I am a certified Reiki master, energy medicine practitioner, a certified metaphysician, author, life coach, aromatherapist, and radio talk show host, living in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I always go over the reason for developing the show. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition. I wanted to discuss divine relationships and to talk about the law of attraction, divine prosperity, universal laws, and social and political topics as well. And we also, for a lot of our shows, have guests to provide more information about the topics that I just have mentioned. Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. And the only ground rule is everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. This rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you can receive respect as well. So, without further delay, I'm going to introduce tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is the new definition for fatherhood. Since Father's Day is in June, the entire month of June will be devoted to fathers, both spiritual fathers as well as biological fathers. Our guest this evening is Dr. Sahul Amri, who will join us later at 7:30 this evening, and he will be our only guest for the entire evening, but as you will see, he is so full of very good information that you will be spellbound by all the information that he's going to share with us this evening. So, if you would like to talk to Dr. Sahul Amri or to me, Professor Franklin, the telephone number is 1-818-572-8023. And press 1. Again, the telephone number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. For those who want to use the internet, type in http://tobtr.com/s/4916779. Again, the link is http://tobtr.com/s/4916779. And internet users, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to join the discussion. Only one caller at a time. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and my purpose is to connect with you on a heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and to grow spiritually and to heal. Last week, we discussed creative parenting, and we had nine live lessons and eight callers. However, as I've stated in the past, most of our listeners join us after the show is archived because it's an internet blog show. So people join us throughout the week at various times. So since last week, we have had 945 downloads, which means 945 people have downloaded the show since last Monday and are continuing to download the show. And I'm so very thankful, as always, to each and every one of you. And since October 22nd, which was the first show that we had, we've had 29,295 listens, which includes the live calls. And this is in only 7 months. And we're just very, very thankful and grateful and appreciative to each and every one of you. Also remember, if you can't join us live, you can go to the website and you can hear all of the shows which are archived. Last week, we discussed creative parenting, as I stated before, and Mrs. Mary Francis was our guest, and Miss Becky Arrington was our guest. What I usually do for each of the shows is I go over the topics that we discussed the previous week and give more information about the guest. So last week, Mrs. Mary Francis, who is a retired nurse, mother, and grandmother, gave us a lot of information. And shortly after receiving her nursing degree, Mrs. Mary Francis started her family. Her first priority was family, which included her spouse and children. However, it was also important for Mrs. Francis to respond to the urgent needs of her aging parents. And she realized that she had to take care of herself as well as respond to various obligations. Her husband, a prominent dentist, supported all of her endeavors. They shared all family values and made decisions together. Dr. Francis was available to assist with the children's activities and career planning. He also encouraged Mrs. Francis to seek further education, which was her desire. This mother of three children and currently six grandchildren has always lived a very active life. As her children grew, Mrs. Francis was content to be a stay-at-home mom and respond to their needs until they became college age. And when they went to college, Miss Francis was also able to go back to college to work full-time and to attend classes during the evenings and weekends. And after retiring, Mrs. Francis and Dr. Francis became involved in assisting with the grandchildren as needed. So she's now retired and living alone since Dr. Francis is now deceased. And she states that her children and grandchildren are all watching over me, responding to my needs to help me maintain good health and independence, to enjoy life in a safe and therapeutic environment. Okay, and she shared a lot of really good information to young mothers or single mothers in terms of ways in which they can have a full life and respond to the needs of their children, but in addition to that, still have a full life themselves. And it's very, very important, as I mentioned last week, for mothers, be they in a relationship or single moms, to definitely have a support system. Because what happens is a lot of times women end up not feeling supported and doing things that they may not have to do if they tapped into available resources. So I think it's very, very, very important for mothers to know that they can tap into available resources. There are so many different groups that are out there to provide support to mothers. And Mrs. Francis talked about some of those resources. And our second guest was Becky Arrington, who is a psychic channel, medium, hypnotist, spiritual counselor, empowerment coaching person, and she does inner child healing. She's also an ordained minister, and she leads guided meditations to assist people to tap into their inner spirits to find out who their spirit guides are. And Becky is a powerful psychic channel with an international following. And years as a corporate executive, while being an intuitive, forced her to create a balance in her life between the esoteric and the third dimensional world. And as a bridge between those two facets, she has excellent insight into the day-to-day stress people are facing while accessing guidance from the inner dimensions. Currently a public speaker, workshop facilitator, spiritual counselor, and reader, she uses her psychic gifts to assist personal power, to assist individuals, rather, to tap into their personal power and to tap into their creative wisdom to make changes necessary to live authentically. And Becky provided a lot of great information to parents who have gifted children, because there are quite a few parents out there who have children who are gifted psychically and who are tapped into the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions, and their parents have not known how to support their children with their psychic abilities. And Becky talked about that. And some of those children have been called indigo children or crystal children or rainbow children. And there's another term that Becky gave us too, in terms of another description. So these children are very gifted. They're clairaudient, which means that they can hear spiritual beings, and they're clairsentient, which means that they can sense or feel. They can feel them. They can feel them touching them, or they just can sense spiritual guides in their presence, or they can see. They have the gift of seeing. They are clairvoyant. So if any of you who did not hear last week's show are now listening, please go to the website and click on last week's show, which was called Creative Parenting, to find more information out about these gifted children and how you can provide support to them. So this evening, as I said, this is the first week of Father's Month. Last month, I celebrated mothers who were spiritual mothers as well as biological mothers for the month of June. As I mentioned earlier, I am going to highlight the wonderful support that fathers have provided to their children. So let me give you the history of Father's Day. Father's Day, the history of Father's Day Festival, as seen today, is not even 100 years old. Thanks to the hard work and struggle of Mrs. Lenora Louise Smart Dodd of Washington, that just as we have set aside Mother's Day to honor mothers, we have a day to acknowledge the important role played by the father. However, some scholars opine that Father's Day history is much older than we actually believe it to be. They say that the custom of honoring dads on a special day is over 4,000 years old instead of 100 years old. There are a few more claims about the Father's Day origin about which we will learn in this program. The earliest history of Father's Day. Now, some scholars believe that the origin of Father's Day is not a latest phenomenon, as many believe it to be. Rather, they claim that the tradition of Father's Day can be traced in the ruins of Babylon. They have recorded that a young boy called Al-Musu carved a Father's Day image, a message on a card. made out of clay nearly 4,000 years ago. El-Misu wished his Babylonian father good health and a long life. Though there is no record of what happened to El-Misu and his father, but the tradition of celebrating Father's Day remained in several countries all over the world. Now, the history of Father's Day in America, in the U.S., the modern version of Father's Day celebration originated in the United States of America, and thereafter the tradition spread in countries around the world. The world owes thanks to Mrs. Sonora Louise Smart Dodd, a loving daughter from Spokane, Washington, as it is because of her struggle that Father's Day saw the light of day. The idea of Father's Day celebration originated in Sonora's mind when she, perchance, listened to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Fairly mature at the age of 27, Sonora pondered, if there is a day to honor mothers, then why not a day for fathers? Sonora felt strongly for fathers because of the affection she received from her own father, Mr. William Jackson Smart, a Civil War veteran. Sonora's mother died while in childbirth when she was just 16 years old. Mr. Smart raised the newborn and five other children with love and care. Inspired by Miss Anna Jarvis's struggle to promote Mother's Day, Miss Dodd began a rigorous campaign to celebrate Father's Day in the United States. The Spokane Ministerial Association and the local Young Men's Association, the YMCA, supported Sonora's cause. As a result, Spokane celebrated its first Father's Day on June 19, 1910. Though there was initial hesitation, the idea gained gradual popularity all over the United States, and Father's Day came to be celebrated in cities across the country, not only in Spokane, Washington. Now, looking at the heightened popularity of Father's Day in the U.S., President Woodrow Wilson approved of this idea in 1916. President Calvin Coolidge, too, supported the idea of a National Father's Day in 1924 to establish more intimate relations between fathers and their children and to impress upon fathers the full measure of their obligations, end quote. After a protracted struggle of over four decades, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day in 1966. Then in 1972, President Richard Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June. Sonora Smart Dodd was honored for her contribution at the World's Fair in Spokane in 1974. Mrs. Dodd died in 1978 at age 96. Now, there are other theories regarding Father's Day. There are several theories behind the origination of Father's Day. Some believe that the first Father's Day church service was held in West Virginia in 1908. Others believe that the ceremony was first held in Vancouver. The president of the Lions Club in Chicago, Harry Meek, is said to have celebrated the first Father's Day with his organization in 1915 to stress the need to honor fathers. He selected the third Sunday in June for the celebration, the closest date to Meek's own birthday. In appreciation for Meek's work, the Lions Clubs of America presented him with a gold watch with the inscription, originator of Father's Day on his birthday, June 20th, 1920. Some historians honor Mrs. Charles Clayton of West Virginia as the founder of Father's Day. In 1957, Senator Margaret Chase Smith wrote Congress that, quote, either we honor both our parents, mother and father, or let us desist from honoring either one. But to single out just one of our two parents and omit the other is the most grievous insult imaginable, end quote. In countries where the Catholic Church holds greater influence, Father's Day is celebrated on St. Joseph's Day, which is March 19th instead of the third Sunday in June. Present-day Father's Day celebrations. Father's Day Festival has gained amazing popularity over the years. The festival is considered to be a secular one and is celebrated not just in the United States, but in a large number of countries around the world, including Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, France, Germany, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, and India, though on different dates. World over, people take Father's Day as an opportunity to thank fathers and pay tribute to them, as well as to grandfathers and stepfathers. On this day, children present Father's Day cards, not just to their dads, but also to grandfathers, uncles, stepfathers, or any other person who commands the position of a father in their life. There's also a trend to present Father's Day gifts to dad, the most popular of all being the necktie. Other popular gifts are roses, which are the official Father's Day flower. Many people rule that the trend of presenting gifts to fathers has led to over-commercialization of the festival, relegating the noble idea behind Father's Day celebration. And this is the same concern that Mrs. Jarvis had regarding Mother's Day. She has said that she fought until she died to have flowers not be connected to Mother's Day because she thought that it was commercializing the idea and it was trivializing the respect and the honor that was needed to have been paid to mothers. She felt that mothers should be honored and remembered for their contribution to the family, and they should just be given that kind of respect, and people should just be around their mothers and celebrating their significance to the family, and it did not have to be connected to anything that cost money. It's just the fact that all the family members would be able to gather around that particular wonderful being called mother and celebrate her. The same thing with Father's Day. With any holiday, as we know, after a period of time, big businesses see that these holidays present excellent opportunities for them to make money. So what they then do is they start connecting certain kinds of symbolism or commercial ideas to all of the holidays, like roses now for Father's Day and carnations for Mother's Day. So that's how everything that starts out as a really humane, compassionate, caring idea becomes overly commercial. And if we are not cognizant of it, what ends up happening is the original significance of the holidays gets lost, as with all the other holidays. However, with any of the holidays, it's incumbent upon us, and it is up to us as individuals to hold true within our own hearts the significance of the men in our lives that have contributed to our lives in a significant way. The men who may not be our biological fathers, but who represent and are role models of what fatherhood is all about. And fatherhood has changed over time. And so Dr. Sahu Amri, who is our esteemed guest this evening is going to talk about that, because traditionally fathers have been the ones who have been the breadwinners for the family. Fathers have been the ones who have taken care of the family, who have done the work outside of the house and any hard labor. It was the father that did it. And the mother was the person who was the nurturer, who stayed at home if the financial picture allowed it to be so, but was not the one who was viewed as the backbone of the family. Now over time, because of circumstances and because of the way that the economy is, some fathers now are stay-at-home dads, whereas years ago that would have been unheard of. But in some situations, the female in the household is making more money, and so both parents have come together and they've decided to have the father stay at home to provide for the children, because if the mother or the female is making more money, it would not be fiscally wise nor responsible for her to relinquish her job to stay at home when she's making more money. And there have been some stay-at-home dads who have really, really enjoyed staying at home. I mean, there have been several movies within the past 10 or 15 years talking about this. One of the movies was a movie with Eddie Murphy, I think about 8 years ago, where he was a stay-at-home dad. It was called Daddy Daycare. And he and some other fathers got together to create a daycare for children because they were stay-at-home dads. And Kramer versus Kramer was a show where Dustin Hoffman, that was 30-something years ago, and it was very controversial at the time. He was in a contentious divorce, and he ended up having custody of his son, and he was the primary caretaker for his son and provider for his son. So we're seeing more and more fathers step outside of the traditional role and become the new fathers, and they feel very comfortable with it. And I think it's wonderful, because I think parenting is a very, very wonderful job, and I think that sometimes women have to step up and do things that have been traditionally perceived as being masculine, and men now are doing things that have been traditionally viewed as being feminine. And I think whatever needs to be done is what needs to be done, and we need to take the titles off whatever people have to do. Because if a child needs to have his or her diaper changed, and if the father is present and knows how to do it, then the father is the person who should change the diaper. So we need to step away from what is masculine in terms of parenting, because children need their parents to be able to do all things for them. And so then if the mother is available to do things that the father would normally do, then the mother is the one that should provide those kinds of skills. And if the father is the one who's there because the mother isn't present for whatever reason, then the father should step up to the plate. And I see more and more people having no reluctance in doing that, and I think that's so, so, so commendable. And Dr. Omri tonight is going to talk more about that. And I see fathers who are also homeschooling their children. I will have a guest in about 2 weeks who is homeschooling his children. He and his wife have decided to homeschool the children, and he is playing a very, very active role in the homeschooling of his children. It's not just the wife who is providing that assistance. It is the husband as well. So I'm so, so very happy that men are now redefining what it means to be a father, and they're releasing and eliminating those roles and those titles that no longer serve them. Because as times change, we have to be amenable to change. We have to be open and receptive to change. And I think now you see more and more men who are able to do that, and I am just so very pleased and honored that some of these wonderful, magnificent men have decided to be guests on my show. And I'm just so very honored this evening for Dr. Sahu Omri to be a guest. And after this commercial break, I'm going to introduce Dr. Sahu Amri, who will give you more information about the new definition for fatherhood. Stay tuned.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Greetings, welcome back. This is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host of the show, Higher Consciousness. This evening, our topic is the new definition for fatherhood, and we are so excited and happy to bring on this evening Dr. Sahul Amri, who's going to give us information about what it means to be a father in the 21st century. I'm going to give you some background information about Dr. Sahul Amri. Dr. Amri will discuss the ways men can become whole spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and financially. Healing these areas within a man's life will enable him to be a more enlightened and conscientious father. Men today are seeking spiritual truths and knowledge. Dr. Amri, the father of two males, will address ways that will encourage, inspire, and motivate men to heal themselves. In doing so, they become better persons and better fathers. Dr. Amri will redefine fatherhood from a holistic and metaphysical perspective. Dr. Amri is the founder of IWIN, Spiritual Holistic Health and Education Center. He has taught natural health, life, and martial arts sciences for 25 years. This gifted healer traveled and trained with 7 master healers from around the world. He integrated their healing modalities into a universal system that focuses on the underlying principles which are found in all cultures, and specifically the self. This method of soul therapy is known as the inner temple, in which the awakening of Christ consciousness is manifested. Dr. Omri's well-rounded education also includes a 4-year Bachelor of Science of Kinesiology, ND Naturopathic Medicine, OMD Imperial Oriental Medicine, Sahul African Health Sciences, DD Health Ministries. He's a professor of bioenergy and complementary medicine at CTC. And all of these sciences are assessed through advanced bioenergetic devices to help document and analyze your progress. Dr. Omri has had the blessing of studying with an enlightened Christian monk of over 150 years of age, in which he studied as a Christian monk with this sage for 10 years until his passing. It was his teachings that saved and brought Dr. Omri back to health from chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, optical neuritis, which means blindness, lost memory, pain, loss of feeling and function on the left side of his body, laryngeal spasm, which means he lost his speech. He had testicular cancer and multiple sclerosis. And all of these illnesses that I mentioned have now been eradicated from his body. He is now cured and healed. And Dr. Omri's mantra is love God, self, and neighbor. Now, without further ado, what I would like to do is bring on Dr. Omri to give us more information about the new definition for fatherhood and just to share with us his personal journey. Good evening, Dr. Omri. How are you?
Aloha, shalom, peace and blessings to everybody. It's been a blessing to be on the show again, and especially at this great time for Father's Day.
Yeah, I am so pleased and honored to have you on the show, a father of two, to talk about your experiences and also to talk about fatherhood from a metaphysical and spiritual perspective. And we also want to dispel with the myth that a lot of men are not present in the families, especially black males, because there are a lot of black males who are excellent, diligent fathers. But what the media tries to portray, and some of us have bought into that, is that black men are absent from their families and derelict in their duties and not conscientious. And that is not the case. There are some, but there are men who are like that of all races who are not present. And I think most men, regardless of race, really care about their families. And so tonight what we're going to do is show how young men, young fathers, and fathers of all ages can be more present emotionally, because what unfortunately has not happened is that we have not had fathers who've been older to pass down compassionate skills to their sons. So their sons are just reliving this all over again. They're starting from scratch because they have not been shown a healthy model. So tonight what I would like to do for any father, young, old, middle-aged, whatever your age may be, is to listen to learn from Dr. Omri the ways in which you can be more present, more available emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, and psychologically. Because I think men really want to do that, but they just have not been shown the model and don't know how to do that. And so, Dr. Omri, let's talk about how it was for you in growing up with, in terms of your connection with your father, your spiritual father, biological father, or metaphysical fathers.
Yes. Well, I have a strange story. my first father is unknown. A father that, when my mother died at three, never showed up to claim his children. That was my first, I'll call him my heavenly father, you'll understand why later. So there is almost no memory of him in my existence. But of course, in my subconscious, you know, my genetic, of course, my DNA, there is a powerful connection. From there, it went to a blessed father, a sacred earthly father who is from my same bloodline that adopted me, again, in my same bloodline, and who was a great, great man. My third father was my spiritual father, and that was the monk I was talking to you about that showed me, you know, the fatherhood from that level of universal consciousness father to a communal father or elder father, to a genetic father, and then most importantly, to the father consciousness that is within us all. So I'll get into later why I say that about the first father. But so I had a very crazy life with the fatherhood, but my father that raised me was a great, great man. He was a Taurus, so he had all these qualities of, you know, of righteousness and loyalty and honesty and being there for me and being so strong. So I only know what I know about fatherhood because I was taught. Many of us were never taught. So we'll say, oh, my father did this, my father did that. That was not your father. Fatherhood is a title. Represents a state of consciousness. These are not things that people automatically have that are embedded into them, those aspects of that God consciousness father. They have to be taught. These were taught in ancient times through rites of passage, teach a father. I'll get into that later. But to really truly understand fatherhood as a divine aspect of universal consciousness, is the first level, again, as a metaphysical. When we start looking at fatherhood as that universal consciousness, it goes beyond a physical connection with another person, because then the ego comes in, then the pain comes in, then the sorrow comes in. But comes to, what are these qualities that define the consciousness of true fatherhood? And that aspect and its importance, we see this being taught in many systems around the world as an aspect of divine creation. You have to have a father and mother for creation. And again, the Orientals, they'll say, well, you need a yin and a yang for creation. The Africans say you need a mother-father principle for creation. Scientists say sound and light. In the Bible, heaven and earth. But you see that these two consciousnesses are so important. That's why I was blessed that you had me on the show for the mother consciousness that I reviewed and went over that. But now the father is very important. And it's the harmony of these two consciousnesses that create balance. Then why do we have a male and a female character? Why do we have an up and down? One, you cannot have existence without one or the other. You have to have both. You know, there's no such thing. If there's no up, we have no idea what down is. If there's no good, we have no idea what evil is. You see, so always the balance is so important, but understanding it from that point, rather from a personal point in the beginning, that, again, the universal aspect of consciousness of fatherhood. And again, the whole key of this yin and yang, if you want to use that term, that's very good, because then you don't know what a yin is or what a yang is. So you can't put in your ego to say, oh, well, that's a father, that's a mother. Whatever you went through in your life, you have some outlook of what a father and mother is because of what you've been taught. But that's not the truth. The truth are these underlying universals that you'll find in all these cultures. And again, the key of those is the harmony of this left and right, up and down. And that key of harmony is what we would call, in the African theology, is a marriage of the father and the mother. In the Bible, God's image is male and female. But you, either or, you're on both sides. The key is the balance of those. And to balance them, you have to understand each of those. So there is a core training of what is manhood, rites of passage, what is womanhood, rites of passage. And these are not to be labeled, again, as personal, because then, again, the ego comes in.
Well, how did you tap into this wisdom? Was it as a child that you were seeking a deeper meaning, since your dad, at the age of 3 when your mom died, your dad was not present? Did you then start? Well, you were very young, so
yeah.
I'm not sure if you had any cognitive understanding that this man that was your biological father was not present because your other father came into the picture. But were you always seeking knowledge about fatherhood?
I have no memory of this man. It's very funny. Externally, memory. It's almost like God. You know, I know God's there, but I don't see him. Where's he at? But inside that. So the main connection I had was with my mother, because I remember her vividly. I remember right until the time she passed. And so that's what held me. You know, I got, you know, of course the fear and the pain from, you know, that man not being there, representing what his qualities were to be. You know, as a father there, you know, I had a lot of fear. So if my mom and dad, that I was blessed, you know, I was in a poor neighborhood, in a ghetto, New Haven, Connecticut, Brookside, New Haven, very rough, you know, a lot of deaths. And, you know, I was blessed with going to Canada to the most beautiful mother and father I could ever imagine. But because of, you know, what happened to me.
So what happened?
If my parents say they'd drive away in a car, I'd run out chasing that car crying, don't leave me. So you see the deep pain in there, but not understanding totally where that's from. Other kids are like, this kid's crazy. This is going up to the store. But so that was very deep. And it helped me, though. This is where I just want to say that it helped me a lot to connect me with God, because I still felt this connection very strong. You know, I still knew there was something besides what's mundane right here. And that gave me this gift of abilities, or whatever you want to say, as a child, that I could always sense spirit. I can always see spirit. I wouldn't look at the world as mundane. And it just had me still having that connection again, like I said, you know, with God, that experience of when he's within you and then now he's not within you, but you still feel that aka cord, that cord of connection to, you know, especially like the mother. And that was very, you know, it influenced my life a lot, but it made my life better, and that it really had me to have this yearning for another world. Does that make sense? I have a yearning for, mm-hmm. not for just what's right here, but for something that I know it's somewhere. I know it's here. So I could feel things that weren't here physically. And you know, of course, I never said nothing like that when I was a kid. People think I'm crazy. But I could always sense energy more than anything. And then that's, of course, where my life led.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happens too for us is that sometimes we just intuitively know that something is amiss, even though we may not be able to put words to it, like how you were saying there was this yearning, and we just know within our spirits. But I want to go back to when you said you lived in Connecticut, and you said this person who adopted you, was a person related to you in your family?
Yeah, that's my family. That was my same bloodline family. You know, mm-hmm. like my uncle, who's my father. He's not my uncle, he's my father. Again, that's why, again, that fatherhood is a title. Whoever partakes of these qualities I'm going to go over in a minute, that's who they are. It doesn't matter if they're man, woman, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if that's your uncle, doesn't matter who it is. That this is an honorary position that's mm-hmm. given by God. It's mm-hmm. not of who you are, genetic and all this. Then you create hate and pain because they were not trained. Like, again, what I'll get into later, they weren't trained to know these things. How are they supposed to know them? You mm-hmm. see? And that was our job as parents, to pass this on to the children, to tell the, you know, the women, what is a man, male, what is a man, so we know that. Because the whole key is going to come to this marriage. The whole key is going to come to this harmony at some point. And mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's where I was so blessed to still stay in my same bloodline. And, mm-hmm. you know, that helped me so much.
I'm sorry. So your uncle was able to pull you up from the ghetto in Connecticut and transport you and your family, your siblings. How many other siblings did you have?
I had three. So all my three siblings went different ways.
Mm.
They tried to keep us together, but back then, you know, people didn't have much. So that created that separation. But then other members of my family took care of them. And then I stayed with my oldest brother and stuff that more took care of me. So it was a blessing, but it was much more painful for my older brothers. Yeah, mm-hmm. because they were older and understood what was happening. And then, you know, you go to court, nobody comes to claim you. You know, that's very painful. You know, I just went crazy, but to them, they had to live with that. And you know, that's a struggle again. That, you know, that is very hard. But again, for that price you pay, believe me, a blessing is there. With that low, it has to be balanced with a high. There is no other way. All energy is always balanced. And that just having the wisdom to see that later, that, wow, if I would have grown up in this area, I wouldn't have been alive. We couldn't go outside and play anything. I'd be shot dead. And now all of a sudden, God's blessed me to bring me to this new place. So you could look at that story as, ooh, that's so sad. No. That, again, helped connect me stronger to an unknown spirit. That, again, connected me to a whole new life that, you know, whatever God's plan had for me. So it's always good to see things from the mother-father perspective, from the yin-yang perspective. So you see both sides. I see the negative, but I also see the positive. And then you'll see something you didn't see before by not looking at the negative or the positive. You'll see that third eye. You're going to see that true consciousness that lies behind the mother and father. That's the child. That's the awakening. But you need to go through both realms to get to the awakening. Can't get there just seeing the negative. Can't there just seeing the positive. So it was that experience that brought me to, as I grew and had that perfect mundane father that was a great man, the first black president of Canada. You know, powerful man, got an award from the Queen. Like, he showed me the highest standards of what a man is. And you know, it was just incredible. And he started with nothing. Same thing in the ghetto with nothing. And
so father,
but he showed me that.
Your spiritual father, I'm sorry. was the first black president of Canada?
My father, yeah, my father right now was the first black president of child welfare, I'm sorry, for Canada.
Of child welfare?
The first black president of child welfare of Canada, again, got an award from the Queen. He is an incredible, I do a whole show just on my daddy, but he was a girl, and he was my father, you know. And taught me everything. And, you know, when I go over these qualities, and these are universal qualities again. And I say, tell them, don't try to put them on man and woman, on this person, that person. Is that these qualities, whoever possess those qualities, attain the blessing and the power of, if we want to call it manhood, whatever name you want to put on it, fatherhood. But these qualities that will help us in life. And that's a loyalty. Are we being loyalty now? And that honesty. That's more of a, these are more male, you could say more in the male standards, but they belong to both. Honesty, loyalty, we have to have those. Strength, you got no strength, good luck. Endurance, you can't last long, good luck. It's going to be hard. So these are the core pillars. No, have laws and order. If you have no order, the whole universe is based on laws and order. You have to have them for your life. And take the laws that are already created by the universe. We can add all kinds of cultural laws and go here and there, but what I'm looking for is the key universal that will harmonize everybody, not just you, this group, no. And we need to get, you know, deeper into the righteousness. We have that today. The higher of humility. You know, I learned martial arts really helped me because I had that shyness and all that and that fear. And then once you learn to be a warrior, I'm telling you, you never get in altercations. You know, it's funny, before you get in fight, people pick on you. Once you learn and resonate with that strong fatherhood energy, I couldn't get in a fight if I tried.
So why is that?
And it's just because you are resonating with that. Go ahead there.
No, because a lot of people, because you're talking, I'm right there with you. You're talking how that esoterical wisdom, but there are some people like, what?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. So can you simplify that for people to say, okay, if you learn martial arts, because there are a lot of people say, well, I learned martial arts, and I learned it to, you know, to beat up people because they were harassing me. So
right.
I got in a lot of fights afterwards. So, but if
right.
you explain it to them,
okay,
why you are not getting into fights because you're not attracted
right.
to the energy, because there are other people whose intention is to do that to keep from being bullied. So.
Right. That is being, again, manhood. Again, remember, the warriors, if you go to the other kingdoms, is the female is the warrior. The man is the protector. The lion is the protector. He's not the hunter. The woman is the hunter. The lioness is the hunter. The man is the protector. That's when you start using the martial arts in an attacking mode rather than a protecting mode. Does that make sense? The mother got to be a warrior to protect them kids. She'll go crazy on you. Go ahead to a cabin and scratch you all up. So you see that those are innate. A woman is very good at bladed weapons, is very good at that. I teach women self-defense. They're very good at that stuff. For self-defense, ooh, no one better than a woman. But men, again, the key is to do it for the protection. And this is also backed by research, what I'm saying, and for the martial arts. But you have to get to a certain level, usually about brown belt level, before all of a sudden you will not get any fights anymore. It's because the confidence is high. Once the confidence, you're getting fights because your confidence is low. You're a bully because you're scared, not because you're confident. When you're confident, I'm like, when I was a bouncer and you saw me, I'm not nothing big. You know, I was a bodybuilder then, but I'm only 5'6". But I bounce in the clubs with 6'8", and people come, I'm going to smash you right now. You know, in the bar, even in the bar, it's not. I just say, well, go ahead if you want to. And they just stand and look at me. I don't say, okay, let's go. Let's fight. If you want to, it's up to you. I don't really care because I know how to defend myself. And the guy just stand there and look at me. Then he go run out and beat the biggest bouncer there, 6'8", knock him out. But he didn't come to me. And then I'm like, what? You know, but it is that confidence and that male of protection. A lot of times now, because of what we went through, the father role becomes more of a dominator. I'm going to do it like this. You see, now you're going out again. You're scared. When you have that strength and that confidence, you have that security. You don't have to act hard. You don't have to act rough. You resonate your strength. It does not have to be shown outward. It is inward. That's where you want your strength. Outward, it shows your weakness. But again, I said that's a lot of research into that, once you get to about brown belt level. And it is funny. I read that before I got to that level. And I said, yeah, right. I'm going to fight more because I can fight. No, it doesn't happen. And again, the proper training of why are you learning this art? You know, I learned the sacred way. I learned from monks when I was a child. I learned Shaolin as a style from monks. That it's not for fighting. It's not for tournaments, not for winning and prizes and all this. This is for your body temple to protect it. This is something that's sacred. So again, how was I taught? Was I taught this way? Let's go attack everybody. Let's go fight. Let's show ourselves. Let's prove I'm better than everybody else. Go ahead. You go that system, you're going to have that kind of character. You become what you're taught. If you see that in what's that, Karate Kid, you got that mean teacher, you're going to be mean. You got that honorable teacher, you're going to be honorable. So the teaching, this title, this fatherhood, is the source, not the art. Don't get to say, oh, martial arts is bad. No, that teacher bad. And he's not bad. He just, that's how he chooses to live his life. But I'm worried, I'm trying to get back to the source. I'm trying to get back to, you know, the laws, the universal laws of how to achieve balance so I can have peace in my life. I didn't make money and big movies and all this stuff, but when you get to that level, you know that peace is the only goal. And however that's achieved, and again, this balance, again, of that peace is from the balance of the father energy and the mother energy. And again, that the highest level that we get to, that's why when I teach this, I teach it to children. Because you want to teach a man how to be a man, you're going to be in for a fight. You're going to try to tell me how to be a man. You're going to be in a fight. He ain't going to listen to you. He's already been programmed. If he, when his heart will get to a state that when you learn humility, I learned that from martial arts. Okay. I know this guy's hitting me and all that, and he's trying to make me better. I see myself getting stronger. But the one of the highest levels of the fatherhood, of the, that you'll see that resonance, that strength, is fearlessness.
Fearlessness
is a form of love. They're two extremes, right? The opposite of love is fear. But a man's love is not the same as a woman's love. A man's love is fearlessness.
So
very... A man's love is... again, I'll use that example of the opposite of love is fear. So a man does not get his love through, you know, hugging, kissing, that kind of, you know, more emotional love, I'll say. His love comes from being fearless. Being fearless means I'll always be there. Being fearless, that there's nothing that will move me. Being fearless means I accept whatever comes to me because I know who I am and what I represent. And this goes way back to the oldest language, where we got the Latin and Roman and Greek and all this language. We go back to the ancient language. We go back to the Hebrew, to the Egyptian. I'll go to the Hebrew here. And that the word forefather in Hebrew, Av, you know, Abraham, Abba, Av. And in all ancient languages, they're pictorial. They're not words. Words don't exist. We created those. We can say, we tell you it means whatever we tell you, you believe it. I can say this means that. Okay, yeah, that's not how it works. All words go back to pictorial. The Bible before Babylon captivity was pictorial. Later on after that changed to the Aramaic or the Hebrew that you see today. That's not the same. It has to be a living. If I say the word house to you, do you picture H-O-U-S-E? You picture a house. If you're Chinese, you'll picture a house. If you're whatever, picture a house. So you picture a house, you know what I'm talking about. You see how that is a language that all people can understand. And that is, if you trace back linguistically all language, you're going to see pictorial in the beginning. The signs of the level of the pictographs will be different. But there. So when we go back to the Hebrew, the word forefather is Av. And the symbols for that, I'm going to tell you what they mean. I'm not going to say just Av. What's an Av? I don't see it nowhere. I don't know what you're talking about. Av is the frequency of the first two letters of the alphabet, which they call the Aleph Bet. And the first letter, Av, is the ox. The symbol is the ox. So a father, what does an ox represent? If I show anybody, they're going to know ox is strong. He's a hard worker. Endurance. The ox, you come out, you come on the field, he know good from bad. He go look at you, check you out. when you come across that field. He stands his ground. He does what's right. All those qualities I went over are qualities that you can actually experience if you ever owned an ox. So, of course, we don't today. But understand those universal consciousness of what an ox is. You get to the native and they get deep into understanding consciousness of animal consciousness. So you have that symbol. And go ahead there.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is give people a chance if people want to join us.
Okay.
The number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And we have the wonderful opportunity this evening to hear from Dr. Sahu Omri, who's discussing the new definition for fatherhood. And we will be back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you stressed, tired, need to relax? Peace Be Still, a natural holistic aromatherapy blend, is your answer. My name is Jacqueline Scott, and I have been a faithful user for years. For more information and to purchase Peace Be Still, a wonderful blend for the entire family, go to Amazon.com or call 770-808-8051 today.
Welcome back. This is Professor Jamila Franklin, and we have the wonderful opportunity to hear from Dr. Sahu Omri, who is the first guest for Father's Month. The month of June, as I said earlier in the show, is dedicated to fathers, grandfathers, uncles, stepfathers, spiritual fathers, as well as biological fathers. And Dr. Sahu Omri is going through his experiences and giving us a historical, metaphysical, and spiritual explanation as to what it means to be a father and regarding the concept of fatherhood, because a lot of us have been told what a father is, and that is not what it is and what fatherhood is. So Dr. Omri is taking us down the historical path to explain to us what fatherhood really means. Okay, Dr. Omri, and just pursue what you were talking about before.
Sure. I was breaking down to the father from the Hebrew, the original meaning of the father. And again, the first letter, ah, is the ox. The ox means the first. It means the strong one, the strength, the endurer, the steadfast, all these qualities, again, that I went over before, loyalty, honesty, all those are aspects, consciousness that you can experience through an ox. Again, the ancient languages are concrete. They're not going to say, oh, father, and not allow you to understand what aspect of father I am talking about. So here for the word father is the ox. The second letter is the house, the home. So it's a glyph showing a picture of a home, and it's a picture of a house here. It is like a square, and it's divided. You have a male side and a female side and a group where everyone meets together. So you're showing here that the word father, and this is the ancient meaning, means strength of the ox, right? Of the home. And what does a home represent to us? What feeling do we get from a home? I'm just going to say home and you're thinking home. Home is family, right? Security. Home is family, right? So,
exactly.
Again, the father's ancient meaning is strength of the family, the pillar of the family, the endurer of the family. If he doesn't stay, the home is not going to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
He's the building block. He's the strength of the home.
Mm-hmm.
As if, and I won't get in deep into the mother, but we have for the mother, we have the same symbol again of the ox. The woman is strong, just as strong as a man. It is different, but she is, her symbol is the strong water, the strong nourisher, the strong life giver. The water was also seen as like a, what they use for a glue, was like a liquid glue, so what holds together. So the woman is what holds together, but the foundation is based on the father and based on the home. So again, we see there the strength of the family is the father. And we see what happens when we don't have that. And again, his strength has to, in that home, you see that there's a male side and a female side. So you are responsible, again, that's another aspect of father, responsibility for the balance of the male and female. And sometimes we say, oh, well, my wife, she can't cook. I don't know what, well, whose responsibility is that? You, to get her some lessons to teach her. You're responsible for the home and everything that goes on in this home. Those kind of aspects that we just need to be taught. And don't, you don't feel no bad. We're not taught. How are we supposed to know? We don't. This is to awaken. And we even go to the word for love. I don't know if you remember the last show when I went into the aloha and the beauty of the love of a mother that a man cannot even experience, only through motherhood and childbirth and all that we got into. But that's, again, in the matriarchal society of Hawaii, aloha, shalom. Again, we're going to the Egyptian, the Hebrew. So their word for love is the same symbol you have for a father, exact same symbol of father, except now you have in between the ox and the home, the strong home, you have a window. And this, a window represents, when you can, if you have a house and a window, you can see what's in the house. If there's no window, right, you can't see what's in the house. So a window indicates of something being revealed. And to the Hebrews, the word for love, this is the word ahav for love, means love is a father's heart revealed. Beautiful. A father's heart. And you would think, what? What's a father got to do with love? I ain't thinking no father. A father's heart revealed. And for something to be revealed, it had to be concealed. Does that make sense? So
yes,
the father's love is deep within. You can't see it out. He's not running up and kissing all over, running like that. But his love is just as strong, but it is deep within. And that's what keeps it strong. And that's what will make it last. It's not out here and it'll go up and down and with the emotional cycle. The emotional cycle of love, believe me, you'll love him one day, you'll be mad at him the next day. You're dealing with a different energy of emotional energy that goes up and down and works in cycles. This love does not work in cycles. It's there, always there. It just has to be opened. That's it. So that, I'll give you one example of how I learned this, you know, and I'm still learning this, is that how, what it means that love is the father's heart revealed. My father, I told you how, is with a strong, strong Torian brother. And, you know, I've never seen him cry my whole life. And it's not like he never told me, don't cry, hey, you're being a punk. You know, he never went anything like that. He let me cry, let me do whatever, you know, he allowed me to be me. And just taught me what I need to be taught. And I've never saw him cry until one time. And this is when I left home. When I left home to go 4,000 miles away. I turned to my father. I go to walk out the door. And I saw the tear. And then he disappeared out of the room. And again, I said, it was so powerful to see the heart revealed, to see all that love he had. My mama wasn't doing that. My mom was just hugging me like this, but I've never felt that kind of love before. Like, that hit me so deep. I didn't know all that love was in him. Because he's just being the man. He's just there and concrete. And his love is so natural that you don't see it. But it's always there. But when he opens that window, again, the symbol is called hey in the Hebrew. It means the behold. You will behold something you ain't never seen before. You behold a feeling you never felt before. And you might experience that in life. When you in the midst of, I don't know what's going to happen in life. And all of a sudden, a window opens. And that's the kind of love that father of, when you think you're all alone and ain't no chance of you making it. And all of a sudden, this window opens and what it does to your heart. That's the feeling of what a father is. That's the feeling of his love, the experience of this love. But we are not taught this. You know, and that's what's so sad. Is that all this knowledge is there for us that's been taught to our ancestors, to all people all over the earth. These, again, are universal principles. The difference will only be in cultural changes. That's why you have to study your culture to see, why do fathers act like this? Why do they do that in this culture? I guarantee you study it, you'll find out why. And that's how I learned. I studied all the cultures. I studied it. Why they like that? Why they talk like that? Why they do this? And all I look at the history and their culture. And what's going on in that time? Well, that's why they don't eat this. Oh, that's why they dress like this. Oh, that's why. You're going to learn so much. And when I was young, again, I asked God for the truth. I love culture, but I'm trying to get back to the source. You know, culture is the beauty, diversity, but I want to see, okay, they do it this way, they do it that way. But there is always an underlying principle of that, and that was what my search was for. And you know, and just I just tell you to go look for those aspects in your father. They're very hard to see, but a lot of fathers are showing love all the time, but it's just not in a way that we're only taught love is only this one kind of way, the huggy-kissy way, you know, the emotional way. That is a beautiful love. We went over that last month. But this love is just as beautiful, but you're going to have to look deep to see it. And I want us to do that, you know, if we can tonight, when we go to bed.
Yeah, that's what I would like to go over.
Look for that. Yeah, look for that, for that love, and you will see it. And it's not openly clear. It's a deep aspect of love.
How would, because you tapped into it and you were able to unearth it within yourself, and you had an excellent role model with your adopted father who was part of your bloodline, who was your uncle.
Yes.
How do young fathers do this? How do middle-aged fathers do this? Because it's not supported in this society, what you were talking about
right.
in terms of being the strength and the backbone. All of that has just been taken away. It's like men now are really wanting to discover and find who they are and what
right.
it means to be a father in this new day and time. Things have changed. So how would a young man, a middle-aged man, an older man who really wants to be the kind of father that you had with your spiritual father who was part of your bloodline, and this kind of father I know that you are with your child, what do they do? How do they tap into this source of energy and connect with that God energy within? What do they, something that's concrete for them to
do? I'm going to tell you a deep secret that I was taught, you know, from my master teacher, my master father, that was so powerful. And this is how it heals your DNA and everything, is that when you think about your father, okay, says, I only want you to remember the positive aspects. Once you learn the positive, I'm going to tell you a good book. I'm going to give a recipe for people, and then, you know, I do a program that I'm going to go over a little bit later that I can help teach them this, and that is done for fathers and mothers to do with their children, because both the father and mother's got to understand this conscious. But to go personal with the self as the father is first to cleanse. You can't put something new on top of old crap. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The room all the dirty, you just shine it up. You got to clean out the old stuff. We need to look, like how I said, look for those aspects of pristine fatherhood in our father. There might not be much because he was not taught. Again, look at it as consciousness, not as a specific, this is my daddy from my father. Then it gets personal. Then it's going to create pain. It's going to create poison in your own body. Especially because it's your DNA. He said, don't ever do that to your DNA. He said, a lady came and, you know, his father beat him, and, you know, found out lady, a man, and his father beat him, always abused him. And he was saying, oh, I hate him, and like that. My teacher pulled out a stick, boom, busts him up in the head. He's old school, 150 years old. And he's like, how dare you say that? You say that about yourself. And he's saying that that's your DNA. When you do that, you ignite that. He says, I only want you to represent, to remember the positive. That is the only aspect which is your true father, the image of God that was created in the beginning, father. You see what I'm saying? And don't even look at those other aspects. Only remember those. Only this is to save you and your next generation. Because when you're making poison in that DNA that is inside of you, you're hating that DNA that's inside of you. That person is sick who did that to you. There's something wrong with that person who did that to you.
Right.
So you don't look at them as a father, someone who's sick and messed up. So you got to change that state of consciousness of the mind of what a father is. And to do that, you might have even got those aspects from an uncle that was that. Replace those ones with it. But look at only those qualities. He said, only remember the positive aspects of consciousness. That is the real father. That is the real you. We're going to get lost if we just keep looking at the negative. We only look at the negative so we can wash it away.
So where do they go to look for the positive if they haven't seen it modeled in their family? So what do they draw from?
If they haven't seen it modeled directly in the family, then I'm going to give a book here, for example. They're going to look for it in movies. I know they saw movies and they saw a person who was a good father. God will bring that consciousness to you in some way. He has to. That's a law. You're going to get out, if you got a movie from TV, from your great uncle, from your friend's daddy, from somewhere, God is going to bless you with that consciousness because it's part of who you are. You cannot not do that. Even though it seems flooded with this negative that we could have been brought up with. But we need to go, he would always say, beyond that. And that is hard. I'm not saying this is easy. This is difficult. But this is going to set you free. This is going to give you peace in your heart. That's all God wants. That's all I want for all people. That's all, because I want that for myself. I want it for my neighbor, for God, for everybody. And that is just learning the techniques to do that. So we want to get in our heart, I am ready now to look at this. I'm ready to work on this. And at the beginning, you don't want to start looking at all these negative qualities, again, about what your father did and this, that. Don't pay attention to those at first. You know they're there. They're in your heart. Look at those positive aspects and enlighten them, embody them. That's the first step. When they get strong, then you can go back and take out the dirt. You see what I'm saying? Then you can go back when you have that strength. This is part of like monk training. The first step is the light, is the love, is the last healing, is the appreciation, is the dance. That is the first step to build that light up in your body. Then the second step of the training is now that light can go into darkness. It can't go into darkness. Now the second level, sometimes he would call the moon, because the moon reflects the light, right, of the sun. If there's no sun, the moon is black. You don't even know it's there. So you have to build up that light so you can go into darkness. Does that make sense? So the first level is on positivity, on looking at these great people, these great teachers, these great aspects of people that represent those aspects of consciousness of, you know, pristine fatherhood. And again, see them as aspects. And that you can sometimes, some women have them better than men. Those aspects, those qualities in some areas.
Because
the woman, I'm not going to get into it, because it's a consciousness first. Consciousness existed before male and female. That's the beginning. In the beginning, then heaven and earth come. So
there are some people now out there who have done that. That's what the president did, President Barack Obama, who did not have a physical father. His biological father was in Kenya, and I think he saw him maybe 3 times. But he had his grandfather, whom he held in the highest esteem, and he pulled from that. Even though his grandfather was not of African ancestry, he pulled from what he could get from his grandfather, and he incorporated that within his being. And he's a phenomenal father to his African American father to his 2 young daughters.
Wow!
So I think that's phenomenal what you're stating.
That's
beautiful. People can look at the positive aspects of people that they see around them. There are so many wonderful role models. Joe Biden, I think, is outstanding as a father, too. You can look at people who emulate, who represent, and you can emulate their behavior, who represent the highest qualities in terms of fatherhood. And if anyone would like to join in or ask Dr. Omri any questions, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And we're having a very, very wonderful, enlightened conversation with Dr. Sahu Omri, who's giving us information about how men can learn to be more whole in because, as he stated, a lot of times we have to purge ourselves from those negative images that we have seen most of our lives, and they come from television environments, and we can purge those things. Okay, Dr. Omri, continue, please.
Okay. And I'd like to share this with people, this book, years ago, 20 years ago, that really helped me, that fear brought to me. And all of a sudden it popped out, so I said, I'm going to mention that. And this book helps with that, Healing the Father-Son Wound, A Guided Journey of Initiation. I like it because it deals more with the consciousness aspect, not the cultural. It gets
Can you repeat
deep
the title again?
That. It's called The Prince and the King.
What's it called?
The Prince and the King.
Okay, and who's the author?
And it's by Michael Gurion. That's G-U-R-I-A-N. Michael Gurion.
And it's called The Prince and the King?
Yes. Healing the Father-Son Wound, A Guided Journey of Initiation. It says that there. But there is lots of techniques in this. If you want to have techniques to work on, this is a good stepping stone. And then you want to get really to act it out. Again, we want to work with our whole soul, which that means all four bodies. That means all four what we call children of the soul. That means you got to read it. That's doing the mental body. Then you got to do the physical. Then you got to do the emotional. Then you got to do the spiritual and energetic aspects. And that will give you a strong foundation. Again, like when I was sick, just doing one did not last. I just did it first, just energy healing. When I had a physical disease, boom, that healed it. But, oh, come back again. Then I did emotional. Oh, come back again. But it wasn't until I got all of those four in balance and harmony that the disease did not keep coming back. And that's, again, the royal commandment of Yeshua or Jesus is love God with all your heart, mind, spirit, and strength. That means you need to have all of those bounded together. And that's also needed for healing. You need to balance all of those. One would be the major, and that's what I work with the healing is look at what is the root problem. Then from there, I use those other, what we call the children of the soul, these other brothers and sisters to help that one that's the sickest. But that book is very nice. It's very nice. And that will help. And again, I'm going to, when we get to the end, Spirit is taking, drawing me out there and around the solstice. I'll be in Atlanta. And the solstice, another thing, we're getting metaphysical. That is the time of the Father. In the metaphysical aspects, the sun is the father, the moon is the mother. This is the fully mature father. Heru, the elder, the Egyptians would say at a time, though, it means Christ, the elder, that he's at a mature age. That now when the sun has arrived here totally in its full potential strength is at the solstice, the summer solstice. Spring solstice is he is arriving, he's awakening, he's given birth. That's the whole aspect there. But the sun aspect, again, is the mind and is the father, and it's going to change a strong mind. The bull has his horns when I teach the children around his head. His mind got to be strong. You got a man's mind got to be strong. He's going to make it. His mind got to be stronger than his emotions. If you just go by emotions, you're going to get stuck. And that's why I'm saying also for women, to look at these qualities I went over, look at these qualities as a man to marry. Not what you feel. Oh, I love him. What's that have to do with it? Go ahead and see what will happen. He's still going to be who he is. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the qualities, not emotions. Emotions are cyclical. They're going to go up and down. But when you for marriage, you want a person that's going to be there, that has these qualities. He has these qualities, he's going to be there. You see, like, what was that movie? Pet Detective. The guy went to Pet Detective, he went to Africa in the second one. And there is a rite of passage. And you see a guy stand up on, like, a 20-foot-high staff on one leg. And he's like this on one leg, you got to be there for 3 days. And you see the guy joking, the comedian there, he's like shooting spitballs at him. That is an act of rites and passage. That is an act that this man got to show, I will stay there and endure for my family. Not just my wife, my family, no matter what. And if he can't do that, you cannot get married. You can't get married if you love someone. That's a very immature aspect of looking at it. Because of emotional how you feel. You have to pass those tests. The woman has her tests that she has to pass of motherhood. If she can't cook and nourish that child, you're going to have to start, the mama's going to have to teach you something. And that's how he taught me as well in Korea. They had the same laws that way, that you cannot get this until you've proven that you're a man. And that's what these initiation rites were to show. That, wow, look at, he went through that. You got to fight three men. You got to do this. You got to do that. All those are to show that you have these qualities of consciousness that I've been talking about from the beginning. Now, reading about it is one step, but becoming it is the other step. And that's the art that I teach called Rua, Radiant Universal Art of Harmony, the art of the living soul. This is one I teach with families and fathers and mothers to teach to their kids to understand these states of consciousness. again, I said, the woman has to know, because this is the type of quality you're going to look for when you want a husband, if you want it to last. If you don't, just keep going emotionally like we're doing, and we're going to stay in the same place, because we're not teaching the young women, we're not teaching the young men these qualities of consciousness. My first level is the teaching the earth's elements, or the earth element kingdom consciousness, and that's all this manhood. That's all, again, everything we went over today is the first level of that. Then we get into the emotional level. Then we get into all those four aspects of the four eternal soul that I talked about on the first time I was on. But, you know, it's very important to start looking at the mindset and how you're looking at life and what you really want, and not get caught up in the emotional body. The man has to be, his mind has to be direct and straight. You know, kids, oh, Johnny's not focused in school. You got to teach him how to focus. I got a metagraph that would force his vision in. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Teach him. Don't just talk, blah, blah, blah. The Ruah is all about, this art form is all about experiencing. Experience it so a child can understand it. He don't understand your words, blah, blah, blah. He understands life. He understands living. If you say, oh, I love you every day, he don't know you love him. You buy him all kinds of stuff. That don't show him you love him. His love will come from play. His love will come experience of interaction of yourself. Then you see him lighten up. That's why I do this program that you're doing these games. It's done with music. It does martial arts. And all that is creating a bond between you and your child. And nobody can give that love that you can give your child. I can't do it. The love that you get when a child is playing with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is so powerful. And these are the ways that we taught them. These are all taught through games when I teach these. The kids, even to adults. You're going to learn all these principles of to be enduring, to have the strength, determination. All of it's done through a game. It's not done seriously. Mm-hmm. All through games. And, you know, again, I want to get into this very important aspect of the message is that get into the African-American community. Did you want me to wait for another break, or do you want me to start that now, dear?
Well, we will have another break in about 3 minutes, and then after that, have only about 40. About 20 minutes left.
Okay, and then I'll go into that last part, the last 20 minutes about, you know, why are we in this situation? All this consciousness that exists here, all this beautiful, you know, fatherhood consciousness that's part of the universe that we need to tap in, it's always there. And once you sit and ask for it, it will come to you. If you're pure in your heart, it will come to you. I don't know, through a TV, a book or something, but when you say, this is my time, and say this as a man or woman. A woman needs to know these qualities as well, honesty and sincerity and all these aspects, that these are for all of us, and that it will come to you. You want it with your heart. You open that heart, it will come, and just have to have, again, that father's love comes. Your eyes got to be real wide open. You know, it's got to be wide open because, again, it's being revealed from within themselves and within yourself, and that's what we really want to connect with. But that's what we want to see is, okay, we have all this, why are we in the situation we are today? And predominantly, you know, my love, and it goes a lot to the African-American community, because they're the ones that have it the worst. I always love to go, who got it the worst? Give me the worst. Because that's who I would love to help me if I was there, and that they're showing a real need for it. And we got to understand why we are in the situation that we are today, why we look at things in the way that we do today, and so we can find and resolve, you know, that problem. So I'll go into that.
Let's go to a commercial break, and then when we come back, we can talk further. Okay, so stay tuned.
Sounds great.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Greetings, welcome back. This is Professor Jamila Franklin, and we're having the wonderful opportunity to listen to Dr. Sahu Amri give us a metaphysical and spiritual understanding about what it is to be a father who is grounded spiritually, metaphysically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. And I am so enjoying this conversation, as I always do with you, Dr. Amri. And if you would like to join us, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. We have only 20 minutes left. So, Dr. Sahu, you wanted to give us information in the last 20 minutes about this particular way in which we can reverse.
Yeah. Okay.
The misunderstanding and the inaccurate information that a lot of men, particularly men of all races, and particularly African-American males, have been indoctrinated to believe about themselves.
Yes, yes, that's so true. And you know, again, we need to look at this in the now so we can see what we can do about it, but the now always came from somewhere. We want to look to from somewhere. And if we look at, you know, what we're hearing and what we see on TV about, you know, African-American men and how they're with this lady, then they jump to this one, they leave the kids, and they go over here. And why would that be if that is not a natural state? Why would all of a sudden they're jumping all around, not committed? Why would that happen? You know, we want to ponder and look at that, not look at what they're doing, but why are they doing that?
That's a good point.
And then...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then we can get to the healing. Then we can see beyond our old emotions that, you know, we only get angry from they're doing this and did that to us and all that. There's always a reason for everything. And when you go to our history, how was the black man trained? How was the African-American man trained for 400 years? He was a breeder.
Mm.
To breed. You work all day in the field. And what do you do all night? You know what you're doing all night? You're making me some more money. I'm breeding you. Making me some bigger slaves, some stronger slaves, some stronger workers. So tonight you're going to be with her, but then you, next night you're going to be with her, and you're going to keep doing it until she's pregnant, okay? Then I'm going to take you to her. You see what I'm saying? Trained.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a bit of deep metaphysical aspect to it as well. How long was this process? I've estimated how many years? 400? Okay. You heard that before? You ever in the Bible? How long the Jews? 400 years? 400 years or 4 generations is a key to change the genetic code. You with me?
Mm.
Between 4 generations, 4 years, I could change your DNA. Then next thing you acting like that today, and that is not you. When you go back to the laws in Africa, when I went back to Africa, very strict laws. I couldn't believe these young men with all kinds of tourists coming there, and you know what they're coming for, and all that business, and these young men would not do a thing. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And they, you know, I'll tell you something, they fool around, but there's no way they're doing that one act. And I just couldn't believe it, that young men of today. And they, like I said, they'll mess around, but there's no way they're doing that one act. And I couldn't believe, you know, what they were going through and what happened when I was there for that time. And that to see that strength, I'm like, wow, I don't know if I could have did it because these people are all over them, you know, and I don't want to get to specific places and all that.
Let's just get clarity because I'm not clear what you're talking about.
Okay.
So you couldn't believe what? When
I couldn't
Europeans...
believe the strength of the African young men when the sexual energy is being sent and they're being bombarded with it without being sexual, okay? That they would fool around, but they would not do the physical act of sexual intercourse. They said, that's for my wife, that's it. And I've never seen that strength before, that these guys here, these women and, you know, all this stuff going on, and they will not do that. They would not do that, and it overwhelmed me. I said, wow, we need that strength like that. you know, my teacher says, yeah, you can kiss and you can do that, but don't do that act. That was for, they were clear, that's for my wife and that's it. And to see that strength. But, you know, I wouldn't know that if, unless I went back there. I'd just be listening to what they say in the movies and what other people tell me. That's why I go to the people to find out. And that 400 years is really what did a grave damage to us. Again, you'll see that in the Bible. Again, you'll see that. This is an imperial royal family system where, again, in four generations, I can change the whole genetic code. And now that's why you'll see them still acting that way, even though we're still under slavery. We're not forced to, you know, to breed anymore. So why are we still acting like breeders? Why are we still doing that? Why, you know, again, we have to look at the pain of the heart of the African-American man from that, that he was not allowed to be a man. He couldn't stay with one woman if he wanted to. His woman would be sold. His child would be sold. So he could not represent that steadfast, that strong, that protector of the family, of the home. He had no home. So you see, all that creates a pain. All that creates a jump to go the other way. And that is where a lot of the disbalance is that we're seeing today, is that 400 years. But guess what? In four generations, you can change that genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be another whole lecture, how to change the genetic code, but how you can do that in 4 years. All your DNA can be seen within four generations. It's going to pop up. All the negative will pop up. All the positive will pop up. You want to activate the positive, not just work on the negative. And that's and that's what we do. Oh, this is passed on. My mama had diabetes, so I'm going to get it. You're going to do it if you act like her. If you eat like her, you're going to get it. You're going to activate it. You activate it by becoming that spirit is how you activate it. DNA is spirit. But you can also activate all that positive. Know your ancestry, that there's healers in there, that there's this in there. You can activate that DNA just as much as you see all of them telling us that you're getting the disease because it's in the DNA. You have all kinds of positivity in your DNA. How come you're not working on that? But we gotta change that mind frame. But we truly have to understand when we see that what's going on with the African-American community today of where that came from, of where that aspect, that is not natural of what we're doing today. It's very opposite of what we're like in the beginning. But understand that and see that. And the pain, again, I'm telling you, as a man, there's nothing worse than you feeling not like a man, that you can't take care of your family. There's nothing worse. And that's the pain, that it's easier to run away. It's easier not to even look at that and face that because of the fear of that pain of you losing your child again, losing your wife again. Oh, I do that so many times. Can't handle that. And this is all genetic. This is all into the subconscious of the relationship.
It's passed down through DNA because you have not, the current young male who's in this relationship now has not had a wife, but it's like an energy thing from his ancestors that's coming from generations up to him now. So those genetic memories, even though he hasn't personally experienced that, those genetic memories and that genetic coding is within his DNA.
Right.
So what you're saying now is that can be reversed. Let's talk about it takes four generations to remove it permanently. But what can someone do? What can a male do in the here and now who wants to stop his patterns, who's now connecting with what you're saying, and who's now seeing, yes, I have those tendencies? What can he do in this moment to begin to reverse some of the things within his life so that even though he may not be able to reverse it, you know, for permanently, but what can he do in the here and now to
stop
some of the negative things?
I'm sorry. The first step is to accept the self of where you're at. You have to accept and see yourself where you are. You have to accept yourself no matter what negative aspect it may seem that you're in. You know, when I talk to people from the prisons and all that, I say, you're beautiful. You're the most beautiful thing I ever seen. You're all the image of God, every one of you. Just because you chose to act different doesn't mean you are that. That's an action. Sin is an action. It's not a person. You're not a sinner. You act sinful. In many languages, there's like in Hawaiian, Egyptian, there's no word for a negative person. There's word for a person acting negatively, but there's no word for a person that because you're all holy in that image. And to know that you are loved and accepted no matter what state you're in. But you have to accept the self in reality of where you're at right now. If I'm around messing with all kinds of women, I have to see that. Okay. Then I have to say, okay, I this is not giving me peace. You know, it's just I'm now into more of the female energy of a cyclical energy that is going around, and now this one, then that one, then this one, that one, then 50% divorce, then after the first divorce, 75% divorce. You see this circle that we're creating, that you have to accept where you're at this moment and be fine with it. Know that you're loved for who you are. You're loved no matter what. And that's what we went through in the last lecture. Love. A mother loves the child no matter what he do, how evil he is. You can't stop that love. And that so first look at yourself where you're at so you can understand now where this came from. That's why. Then you might start to see it in your own ancestors. Well, my daddy did that, and his granny did that. You see what I'm saying? Now you're saying, wow, it's a link. So now you have to start to change those reactions. Change the way you act. DNA is about your action of the soul. And the action of the soul is about those four bodies acting together as one. And that's what this art form that I developed, that's what it's about. And I just reawakened it. This is from ancient times, found in all these cultures, is that you're reawakening it through the four aspects of the self, those four bodies, those four children. So you're doing exercises that will stimulate the emotion, will stimulate the physical, the mental, and all those aspects. Then you're going to get a permanent change. A lot of things, if the therapy is done something just one way, if it's the root, it would really help. But you'll see it will come back, just like a disease will come back, that, okay, I healed it through this. You know, I cut it out, but it came back again. You only worked on the physical. The emotional is still there. The energetic is still there. So, again, it's going to change those qualities. And again, it's harder as we're older, but my thing is that get these teach to these kids, and you do it with the kids. That way you're learning it, and they're learning, and it's all done through play. And again, to learn these fundamentals of what a man is, boom, you have to have resist. When you start looking at a woman's butt, okay, you're looking at that, what comes out of that? That is not natural for African. Doo-doo come out of that. So you got to tell your mind, doo-doo coming out of that. Tell that to your mind every time you look at doo-doo coming out of, because all you are is acting using animal instinct. And you know it's not going to, any relationship based on lust, it can't last. It's cyclical. It's emotional, so it cannot last. And if that's how you want to live your life, that's fine. Everyone's free to choose how they want to live. But the peace is what I love, you know, and that's my objective, and peace for all people. But it's just changing that through.
Go ahead,
dear.
No, go ahead, because I was going to ask.
It's just painting that through this application, all those aspects, that working with those all together. And you know, like I said, I'll get there. You know, the Spirit's drawing me out there. So, you know, anybody interested, you know, you call me. And, you know, but check that book out. And
that's what I want
you know,
to do.
Check
next.
On all the stuff that, listen to this all over again and see the stuff I said. Check in your ancestral line if you have. That means I really got to work on that. And when you see it, you got to catch that demon where it's at. You keep yourself looking. When I was a monk trainer, if I could look at a woman like, you know, whatever, biologically, lustfully or whatever, if that draws my energy, I turn it right away. I turn it right away. I turn it right away. I turn it right. You see, and then it comes with training that eventually you're not going to see it anymore. You'll see it, but it looks different. That's the only thing I can say. You see that beauty. You see that, but it's not that I want to have it now. That's your ego that to want to control that. That how can I love something? I want love. How can I love something I don't know? That's why lust cannot work. You don't know this person. How can you be in love with them? How can you want to be with them when they are a consciousness of who the self is? And you're not looking at any of that. So there's no way it can last because of the laws you're following. You find that cyclical law that you cannot have peace in that way. You can only go around and around what the Buddhists call the wheel of samsara. Just keep going, woohoo, around. But we can do it. And that's why all this knowledge is here for us. And you know,
well,
I say go with your heart.
I would like us to take this time for people to get your contact information several times. I'm going to have you give it several times because we only have about 12 minutes left. So give them your contact information.
Okay.
At this point.
My email is Iwin, Iwin, health, health, edu, education, edu, @gmail.com. So that's Iwin, health, edu, @gmail.com. And you can email me there with your, you know, with any information or what you'd like to know. Or again, I'm Spirit's drawing me on this move in this area now, but I feel I will be there in the Atlanta area about the 21st on the solstice. So I'm feeling that, but I will not be answering my phone so much, but I will put my phone number. But if you just leave a message, again, I'm in that process. But if you feel it, you know, Spirit, you know, pulls you. It's 318-497-0884.
Again.
And again. And again, the email is the best, but you know. Just leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And there's just so much information on this out there. But we do it through a fun way. The art is called RUAH. That's R-U-A-H. It stands for Radiant Universal Art of Harmony. Again, it's the revolutionary spiritual holistic art form. You know, we call it the art of the living soul. But everything is, you're using your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, all of those aspects. It helps kids with ADD, helps kids with who are real low self-esteem. Again, it's awakening that consciousness that's not awakened in them. So same thing as the men that want to become like that. I'm going to just awaken that consciousness in you and get you to accept who you are, and all the stuff you did is fine. You made mistakes. So what? Everyone makes mistakes. Release yourself. Forgive yourself. And then from there, build on what needs to be awakened in you. And, you know, sometimes they call it psychosomatic. We call it psychosomatic therapy because we're working on all those aspects to cover that. So people don't go through what I went through, get healed this, and then you're sick again, you know, the year after. And then you get better and then sick again. You know, I want people to be free from that, and they can do this. It's all self-healing. I show you the exercise. You just practice it every day. You know, I do a therapy where I go back in time to where that originated, you know, in your life. So you can go back and look at that just to see. And to see is only so you can release it. That's the only reason we're looking at it. We're not looking at it to deal with it and fight with it. No, just to see it and accept it and forgiveness, let it go, and then replace it with what's already in you, just not awakened yet. So all men have this energy. All men have these aspects. All women have these aspects of consciousness. You know, it's just that when I teach the class, the men do it with the women. The women see it real strong in the men. And when we get into the soft and the flowing energy, the men learn from the women. So in this art form, what you're at naturally helps the other person who's weak in that. So I'm going to put you with this person who's weak in that energy field. And then the energy field you're weak in, I'm going to put you with a person that's very relaxed, that's very flowing, so you can experience that. The only way you can get it is to experience it. You can't get it from reading it in a book alone. The book will help one aspect, but you get it from living it. And that's what this art is all about. And again, Spirit is bringing me to teach, you know, children, you know, or parents that want to teach it with their family and work together with it. But well, we just have fun and enjoy ourselves. But,
and in the last few minutes, what words of wisdom can you leave with men? You've done an outstanding job in terms of this, but to sum everything up, men who are redefining what it is to be a father, just sum up in 5 minutes or so, what do you believe men need to do? Just, you know, like I said, just give us a summary.
What they need to do, okay.
In terms of what you've talked about.
The first thing, again, I'll say, to look at the self is very important. Know that you're all sacred. Know that you're all beautiful. Know that you're all the image of the divine. You have to know that, not just say it, but know that in your heart, know that in your mind, and that it's only about returning back to that original state, and that is in all of us. I really want you to I want to see your strength physically. I want you to look at that physical body. I want you to look at your physical self and the laws of the health so that you take care of your health and be a strong man so you show your children that and be an example to them. I want you to show me your strength of controlling your emotions. Because of what we went through, a lot of it through slavery and all that, our emotions come out a lot of anger and escape. So we give it a boom, we escape, and we leave. This is natural, what we've done. There's no feeling guilt, no feeling bad about that. What we did is a natural reaction, but we need to change that reaction and strengthen our emotional state, not for us to be ruled by these emotions, to be the director of these emotions. That is one of the most important aspects of being a man, is not being led by emotional nature, to understand the concrete aspect of that emotional nature so that it can be directed and so that it can be guided and controlled. You know, the mind, again, that I went over, the mental, is so important to have that strong mind. It's so important to have the wisdom to know the law and know which way is right and live that way. It's going to be a battle to live the right way. It's easy to do wrong, but we must train the mind. We must know the laws. Learn universal laws so that you can flow with those laws that again, go beyond culture, go beyond aspects of our own ego. And that is very, very important, again, to strengthen that mind. To, when that mind goes there, no, I'm not bringing it there. Bring it back to where it needs to go. And these, again, through meditation, through, we have these different, you know, aspects that you can focus on your mind. So to redirect, bring back. This is simple meditation. And be ready to apply them. The spiritual, you know, the will you're going to need to go through this is going to be hard. The one thing with the male energy, when we're learning about that earth energy, you know, when I get people to hold a stance, I said, okay, let's hold it right here. Yoga is very good. It works on the physical aspects. That you're holding that stance. And you're going to see once you hold that stance and the strength you're getting that the leg's going to get shaky. You're going to wait, oh, shoot, I got to stop. I got to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on yourself more importantly than everybody. Giving up on yourself is what destroys us more than anything. And by training these exercises, that's pushing me farther than I would go. I call them points of power. I get the kids, hold the stance. I'm going to double your strength in a week, boy. Get over here. I get them out there. Oh, you hold the stance. His legs. I said, don't you stop. Don't you dare. I'm going to crack you. You know, I'm playing with them, laughing. Don't you go down. You got the power to stay and go through this ride. And when they experience that strength, oh, they're sweating. They're pushing. Then later on, I teach them, well, why don't try breathing like this while you're holding that? Oh, that helps them. You see, and the longer they stand for the next week, they get points of power. So look how much points you got this time now. You know, because when you're doing right, believe me, the wrong is going to come to try to balance you out when you're on that path. That is just natural. That's why you're holding that stance. All of a sudden, you know, you're getting stronger. Well, you're not going to get stronger for long, but the only way we can get stronger is go through the trial. Your muscles have to be pushed to the limit to grow. Your mentality has to be pushed to the limit to grow. Your emotions have to be put to the limit to grow. Don't fear that. Know that that is just a general progress in life. A step in life that we have to go through. But when we start training and train our kids to do this at young age, we're going to see some powerful children. I love working with children who are already strong. I'll triple, double, quadruple the spirit that they have that's already within them. You know, it works good for kids who, you know, already have this or that or, you know, shy and all that. But when you take this art and you give it to somebody who's already at a high level, it will only going to take you higher. You take a person who's healthy and they follow these laws, they're going to live to over 150 like my teacher. But if you just get healthy, okay, I'm good here. Don't stop. Don't stop. And do not fear. You know, that's, again, the fearlessness is so important. But we can all do it, and we can all do it together. And that's why this art is here for us, to do it unified together. You don't have to do this alone. You know, and I just say, put it in your prayers with a true heart. And the energy, God will send that energy that's needed for you to you. Just have the eyes open. We're so fast, working so fast now. We don't get to keep our eyes. We miss so much because we're moving in this mundane life. But keep your eyes open. Every night, clear your mind before you go to bed. Keep your mind very clear so that you can receive the messages you need to get. But this is for all people, and this is all of us. So we're going to do it all together, and we will.
That is so powerful. Wow. This is so wonderful. Please give, in the last 2 minutes, your contact information again for people to contact Dr. Sahu Omri. And please, as he said before, replay this, rewind it. It's a lot of wonderful information. And tell your friends and family to listen to this recording because it's so powerful. This is like awesome for men who are fathers, who are grandfathers, who are uncles, who are spiritual fathers, who are biological fathers, who are fathers-to-be. You need to really listen to this. And women, too. So when men come into your life, they have to rise to the bar. They have to be on point. And Dr. Omri is telling you how to look for a man who's on point and not get caught up with the emotion of love. But if they don't come willing to do this part here in terms of training themselves, in terms of the spiritual training, the mental training, and the metaphysical training, then it can't last. So, okay, give them your contact information again, Dr. Omri.
That's IWIN help, HEALTH, EDU, at gmail.com. Just send me your phone number or anything. Just send it there to me, and, you know, I'll get back to you. And, you know, I teach, you know, I do talks at churches, at schools, recreation centers. You know, if you feel the spirit, just call me, let me know. And hopefully we can get things going, and we can all be as one. But peace and love, and I just want to send that message to this sacred time of the fathers, and I just want to send love to all the fathers out there that we're all doing our best, and that is so well, and we can keep growing and growing. But send respect to all the ancestors, the Father, the Heavenly Father, the spirits of all the elder fathers, and that especially I want to see you awaken that Father that's in you that's waiting to be awake. So peace and love to you all.
I think that is so powerful. And so, as Dr. Omri has said, just look at yourselves, men, in the mirror, and it's not about judging you and giving up on you and feeling that you are a worthless sinner, because as he said in the language of the Hawaiians and the Egyptians, there is no negative word for the word person. They only talk about actions, because you are whole. Men out there, regardless of your race and ethnicity and culture, you were born whole. You're wonderful. You're wonderful beings. You're made in the image of the Most High God. And we all do things that may not be our highest and our best. But Dr. Omri has given you wonderful tools to look at and to use. Dr. Omri, give them the name of the book again that you mentioned earlier.
Yes, again. This is The Prince and the King. That's The Prince and the King. Michael Gurian, G-U-R-I-A-N. And that's a very, with a lot of apical, you know, exercises that you can do with that book. So check
and
that
I think
out.
I think that book would be very important for women too. I'm sorry. For women to get to.
Yes,
so when you're looking for a prince and a king, you look at that book and say, okay, this is what if you want to win me as your queen, this is the manual. This is the manual
there
that I expect you to use.
Yeah.
And if he isn't willing to rise to that bar, then he's not your king and he's not your prince, and it's okay. So I think that Dr. Omri has given us practical tools. He's given us metaphysical tools, spiritual tools. He's given us so many different ways to look at, for women to look at men, to encourage them to be healthier on all levels and to be whole. And he's given the tools for men, because men have not traditionally had people to sit them down to give them practical tools. And Dr. Omri has done a wonderful job in doing that. And I so appreciate his time on the show, and we only have 60 seconds left. Dr. Omri is...
I would just like, to say one thing that Spirit's telling me to say, that all this that I do is love and kindness from my heart, that if anybody was offended at all, anything I said, I want to deeply apologize, that everything I say comes from what was taught before me, and, you know, I take responsibility for that. But I want you to know that I'm only trying to touch your hearts. And I don't know who this is going out to, but you'll make it. You know,
that is so powerful. Yeah. So
never give up. And thank you, Dr. Omri, for being the first phenomenal speaker opening up the show for Father's Month. And next week we have the show entitled Salute to Fathers. So please contact Dr. Omri. He's willing to speak to churches, colleges, private organizations, and he also does phenomenal trainings for men, for women, for children. He's phenomenal and world-renowned. So please contact him. Until next time, Dr. Omri, I so appreciate you,
okay.
And I'm so thankful to you.
All right.
And have a wonderful evening. And everyone be
okay,
blessed.
You too.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much for joining
you
us.
You too, dear. Thank you so much, dear. All right.
Take care.
Aloha. Take care. Bye-bye.
From my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today